the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Here are a few articles related to the coronavirus published Thursday, March 12th. Administration weighs delaying tax deadline amid outbreak, by Martin Krestinger, Associated Press. Washington. The Trump administration is working on plans to delay the April 15th federal tax deadline for some taxpayers in a bid to soften the impact of the coronavirus outbreak on the U.S. economy. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told Congress on Wednesday that the administration is looking to provide relief for most individual taxpayers as well as small businesses. Mnuchin said the administration believes a payment delay would have the effect of putting more than $200 billion back into the economy that would otherwise go to paying taxes next month. He did not indicate what the new deadline would be. Mnuchin later told reporters that the delay would cover virtually all Americans other than the super rich. He said that the delay would not apply to large corporation or very wealthy taxpayers, but he did not offer any specific income or asset thresholds that would be needed to qualify for the delay. Mnuchin told a House Appropriations Subcommittee that the administration could grant the tax delay without having to go to Congress for approval. He said Treasury will recommend to President Donald Trump that he approve the delay and that a formal announcement should come soon. Mnuchin said the delay would allow individuals to not pay their taxes by the April 15th deadline. The IRS would also waive interest payments or other penalties for missing the deadline. Under current IRS rules, taxpayers can get an automatic extension on filing their tax return, but they are required to pay tax on the estimated amount they will owe when they do file. Members of Congress have urged the administration to take this step amid the coronavirus crisis. Given the growing nationwide concerns regarding the potential spread and the resulting economic and public health impact of such an outbreak, we urge you to act quickly and remove one source of stress that individuals face during the crisis. Senators Bob Menendez, Democrat, New Jersey, and Patty Murray, Democrat, Washington, said in a letter to IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig. The American people should not have to worry about filing IRS forms in the middle of a public health emergency, the two senators wrote. Coronavirus clusters swell on both sides of the U.S., by Marina Villanueva and Olga R. Rodriguez, Associated Press. Alarming clusters of the coronavirus swelled on both coasts of the U.S. on Tuesday, with more than 70 cases now tied to a biotech conference in Boston and infections turning up at 10 nursing homes in the hard-hit Seattle area. Presidential candidates Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden abruptly canceled rallies because of worries about the virus, and New York's governor announced he is sending the National Guard to scrub public places and deliver food in a New York City suburb that is at the center of the nation's biggest known cluster of infections. On Wednesday, Washington Governor Jay Inslee will announce a ban on gatherings and events of more than 250 people in virtually the entire Seattle metro area to try to stop the spread of the outbreak, said a person involved in planning of the decision. The ban would apply to sporting events like Seattle Mariners baseball and Seattle Sounders soccer games. The order would not prohibit the operation of workplaces, and it is not expected to include school closures, said the person, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they weren't authorized to discuss the matter publicly. Santa Clara County in California, home to San Jose and Silicon Valley, on Monday announced a ban of all gatherings of 1,000 people or more. Also in California, three Transportation Security Administration officers at Mineta San Jose International Airport have tested positive for COVID-19, the agency said Tuesday. They were receiving medical care, and all TSA employees who had contact with them over the past 14 days are being quarantined at home, the agency said. At least 24 people have died in Washington from COVID-19, most in the Seattle metro area. 19 of the deaths are linked to one suburban Seattle nursing home, and authorities in King County said the virus has spread to at least 10 long-term care facilities. Late last month, Inslee declared a state of emergency over the virus outbreak. There are more than 260 confirmed cases in the state, most in the three counties that would be affected by Inslee's new order. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker declared a state of emergency as cases statewide jumped from 51 from the day before to 92. Of that number, 70 are now connected to a meeting held last month by a biotech company, Biogen, at a hotel in downtown Boston. Baker said the state of emergency will give him greater authority to take such actions as shutting down large events, gaining access to buildings, or stockpiling protective gear. The moves come as the battle to stop the virus from spreading intensified. More schools and universities sent students home, while conferences and other events were canceled. The United Nations announced it would close its New York headquarters to the public and suspend all tours. The Coachella Music Festival, that draws tens of thousands to the California desert near Palm Springs every April, was postponed until October. And one of the biggest resort operators in Las Vegas, MGM Resorts International, said it would close buffets at all of its Las Vegas Strip casinos as a precaution. A top federal health official pointed to Europe, rather than the virus's point of origin in China, as the likely source for the infection's continued spread to the U.S. Right now, the epicenter, the new China, is Europe. Robert Redfield, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said on Capitol Hill. And there's a lot of people coming back and forth from Europe that are now starting to seed these communities. Authorities in Washington state reported two new deaths from the virus, a man and woman, both in their 80s, who were residents of a nursing home and a senior center. Of the 24 deaths in the state, 19 have been tied to a single nursing home, Life Care Center of Kirkland. But the state officials said they are now working with 10 nursing facilities where residents or workers have been tested positive. Washington Governor Jay Inslee announced new nursing home rules that would limit visitors and subject health care workers to screening. Similarly, in Kentucky, Governor Andy Beshear said state-run nursing homes will severely restrict visitors, with private operators strongly urged to follow suit. 6 cases have been diagnosed in the state. The decisions by both Democratic presidential candidates to call off rallies in Cleveland came as voters headed to the polls for a primary election in neighboring Michigan. We are heeding the public warnings from Ohio state officials who have communicated concern about holding large indoor events during the coronavirus outbreak, Sanders campaign spokesman Mike Koska said in a statement. All future Bernie 2020 events will be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said 3 schools and other gathering places will be shut down for 2 weeks in a containment zone in New Rochelle, the epicenter of an outbreak of more than 100 cases. Officials said the National Guard troops will help clean public spaces and deliver food to people quarantined at home in the zone, which extends a mile in all directions from a synagogue connected to some of the cases. Officials would not say how many National Guard members would be involved, and there was no immediate sign of any troops on the streets. Apart from those who are under quarantine, residents and visitors to the community of 79,000 will be able to come and go freely with no checkpoints, and businesses can remain open, officials said. It is a dramatic action, but it is the largest cluster of cases in the country, Cuomo said. The numbers are going up unabated, and we do need a special public health strategy. New Rochelle and surrounding Westchester County account for the majority of the state's 173 coronavirus cases. New York City, with 100 times the population of New Rochelle, has 36 known infections. The virus has infected more than 800 people in the U.S. and killed at least 29, with one state after another recording its first infections in quick succession. New Jersey reported its first coronavirus death Tuesday. Worldwide, about 118,000 have been infected and over 4,200 have died. For most people, the virus causes only mild or moderate symptoms such as fever and cough. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia. Most people recover in a matter of weeks, as has happened with three-quarters of those infected in China. On Wall Street, stocks surged Tuesday after suffering staggering losses the day before, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average gaining more than 1,100 points, on hopes the Trump administration would take steps to cushion the economy from the damage caused by the outbreak. In Oakland, California, thousands of restless passengers who have been stuck aboard a cruise ship hit by the coronavirus waited their turn to get off the vessel and go to U.S. military bases or back to their home countries for 2 weeks of quarantine. "I'm bored and frustrated," said Carolyn Wright, 63, of Santa Fe, New Mexico. "All of a sudden, a two-week vacation has turned into a five-week vacation." After being forced to idle for days off the California coast, the ship docked Monday in Oakland with about 3,500 passengers and crew, including at least 21 who tested positive for the virus. Authorities said foreign passengers would be flown home, while Americans would be flown or bused to military bases in California, Texas, and Georgia. About 1,100 crew members, 19 of whom tested positive for the virus, will be quarantined and treated aboard the ship, which will dock elsewhere after passengers are unloaded, Governor Gavin Newsom said. Houston Livestock and Rodeo will be shut down, Associated Press, Houston. The Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, which draws hundreds of thousands of visitors, will be canceled about halfway through its run as a precaution against the new coronavirus, city and county officials said Wednesday. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner and Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo said they would be issuing emergency health declarations to slow the spread of COVID-19. Rodeo organizers said the event grounds will close at 4 p.m. Wednesday and that they are working on a ticket refund process. "This is a decision that does not come easily, but the health and safety of people in our region is paramount," Turner said. Officials said they made the decision after news Tuesday of a positive case in nearby Montgomery County that indicated community spread was happening when a person contracts an illness from an unknown source. The Texas Department of State Health Services said Wednesday they're investigating whether the Montgomery County case was one of community spread. Health officials said the man had no out-of-state travel and no identified contact with another person with COVID-19. "We suspect that this is potentially the tip of an iceberg," said Dr. David Peirce, the health authority for the Houston Health Department. "There may be many people throughout the community who are infected." Hidalgo said it's their best understanding that the man on February 28th was at a barbecue cook-off that's part of the events leading up to the rodeo. "They're still trying to suss out whether he had symptoms then, which would have made it a bigger issue, or whether he did not have symptoms then, which wouldn't have made it as big of an issue," she said. The rodeo opened March 3rd and was set to run through March 22nd. In addition to rodeo events and a livestock show, the event also features a carnival and concerts. Performers so far this year have included Willie Nelson, Chance the Rapper, and the K-pop group NCT 127. Performers who were scheduled to perform before the rodeo's end included Lizzo, Keith Urban, Gwen Stefani, and Luke Bryan. For most people, the new coronavirus causes only mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever or cough. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia. The vast majority of people recover from the new virus. According to the World Health Organization, people with mild illness recover in about 2 weeks, while those with more severe illness may take 3 to 6 weeks to recover. In mainland China, where the virus first exploded, more than 80,000 people have been diagnosed, and more than 58,000 so far have recovered. Coronavirus compels telecommuting, travel limits for media. By David Bader, Associated Press, New York. The Washington Post is encouraging its staff to work at home, and the Los Angeles Times is restricting air travel. Two illustrations of how news organizations compelled to cover the coronavirus outbreak are balancing the need to keep employees safe. Both of those directives went out in memos to staff members on Tuesday. CNN also said that as of now, its planned Democratic presidential debate Sunday between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders is on, though it will take place without a live audience. Washington Post publisher and CEO Fred Ryan said the Post was encouraging, but not mandating, telecommuting for newsroom personnel if their jobs or needs for equipment permitted it. The policy is in place at least through the end of the month. "It's a smart thing to do to minimize or eliminate what could go wrong here," said Cameron Barr, a Post managing editor. The newspaper had preparedness plans in place, and technology allows most employees to stay connected remotely. The newsroom won't be empty, since some editors and other staff will remain. Ryan said the newspaper would continue to operate at full scale despite the dispersed employees. The Los Angeles Times said it was suspending air travel for staff members, except in cases where it is absolutely required for the job, according to a memo sent by executive editor Norman Perlstein on Tuesday. "Those who do have to fly will be asked to work from home for 2 weeks after the flight," he said. Exceptions will include coverage of sports teams or presidential campaign coverage, said a senior editor at the newspaper, who spoke on condition of anonymity because the person was not authorized to discuss the plans publicly. Some reevaluations are taking place. This weekend's debate will likely be covered off television instead by a reporter on site, the editor said. "We all recognize there are certain stories you can't cover by phone, and we will continue to travel to cover them," the editor said. Staff members have been given the option to work from home if they can, subject to their manager's okay, the Los Angeles Times said. The New York Times told its employees this week that if they want to work remotely, they can do so, and many have taken us up on the offer, a spokeswoman said. Remote working is not always an option. NBC News, primarily a television news organization, did not mention telecommuting in a coronavirus memo sent to staff Tuesday. The network said it was stepping up cleaning of its facilities and making more sanitizers available. Bloomberg News said it is requiring its employees in China, Hong Kong, South Korea, and Italy to work from home, and recommending that its workers in Seattle, Washington, do the same. Other employees who want to telecommute must make arrangements with their supervisors, a spokesperson said. And now here are some sports articles related to the coronavirus. "Only essential staff, limited family at NCAA tournaments," by Ralph D. Russo, Associated Press. The buzzer beaters, upsets, and all the other shining moments of this year's NCAA tournaments will be played in mostly empty arenas. Trying to avoid spreading the new coronavirus that has become a global pandemic, the NCAA decided the men's and women's tournament games will be off limits to the general public. NCAA President Mark Emmert said Wednesday that he had made the decision to conduct both tournaments, which begin next week, with only essential staff and limited family in attendance. The decision comes after the NCAA's COVID-19 advisory panel of medical experts recommended against playing sporting events open to the general public. Emmert told the Associated Press that canceling the tournament was considered. The decision was based on a combination of the information provided by national and state officials, by the advisory team that we put together of medical experts from across the country, and looking at what was going on to be in the best interest of our student athletes, of course, Emmert told the AP in a phone interview. But also the public health implications of all this. We recognize our tournaments bring people from all around the country together. They're not just regional events. They're big national events. It's a very, very hard decision for all the obvious reasons. Emmert said the NCAA wants to move the men's Final Four on April 4th and 6th from Atlanta's Mercedes-Benz Stadium to a smaller arena in the area. The NCAA also will consider using smaller venues for second-week regional sites currently set up to be played at the Toyota Center in Houston, Madison Square Garden in New York, Staples Center in Los Angeles, and Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. We have to determine the availability of the sites, obviously, but it doesn't make good sense to have a football stadium be empty, Emmert said. All sites for next week's men's games will remain the same unless conditions in those areas force relocation, he said. Plans for refunding tickets purchased in advance were being worked out. First and second round sites for the women's tournament will become official next week. Those games are usually played at or near the campuses of the highly seeded teams. It's really sad, obviously, it's disappointing for all our fans, said Louisville's women's coach Jeff Waltz, whose team is ranked number 6 in the latest AP poll. At the same time, I completely understand for the health and safety of the fans and student athletes and everyone involved. Waltz said the university already had sold more than 4,000 tickets for the first and second round sessions. The decision applies to more than just men's and women's basketball. All NCAA-sponsored championships, including hockey's Frozen Four, will be affected. But the men's basketball tournament is the crown jewel, one of the most popular events on the American sports calendar. March Madness draws hundreds of thousands of fans to arenas from coast to coast. The men's tournament generated more than $900 million in revenue last year for the NCAA and its members, though the majority of that was from a media rights deal with CBS and Turner that pays about $800 billion per year. We're like any enterprise of this size. We have business interruption insurance and a variety of other things, but we'll sort that out in due course, Emmert said. Emmert said CBS and Turner plan to broadcast the games as usual. Other media members will be allowed into the arenas to cover the games, but how many is still being determined, he said. Emmert said a protocol for the medical screening of people entering the arenas is still being worked out too, along with what constitutes essential staff, bands, cheerleaders, and how to define family members. Across the country, many colleges and universities in recent days have been shifting to virtual classes and telling students to extend their spring breaks, encouraging them to stay away from campus. A number of schools, including schools that their president are on our board, have indeed closed down campuses and made other accommodations, and so it was part of our discussions, Emmert said. And people recognizing they were making those decisions for good reasons. And doesn't that logic continue over to athletic competitions? The 68-team field for the team's basketball tournament is scheduled to be announced Sunday, and the 64-team women's tournament field is to be unveiled Monday. Games begin Tuesday and Wednesday on the men's side in Dayton, Ohio, where earlier in the day, the governor said he would issue an order to restrict spectator access to indoor sporting events. The Mid-American Conference on Tuesday announced it was closing its men's and women's basketball tournament games at Cleveland's Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, home of the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers, and scheduled site of the men's NCAA games to the general public. The women's tournament started Wednesday. The Big West Conference announced a similar move, not allowing the general public into its basketball tournament games to be played this week at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. Emmert said it would be up to conference officials and their members to decide how they wanted to proceed with their tournaments for the rest of the week. One by one, the power conferences playing in large venues followed the NCAA's lead. The Atlantic Coast Conference, Big Ten, and Big 12 announced they would not allow the general public to attend their men's basketball tournaments for the rest of the week. All started Wednesday with fans in attendance. The Big Ten is playing at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, and when an announcement was made about limiting fan access going forward, fans booed. The Big 12 men are playing at the Sprint Center in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Commissioner Bob Bowlesby said teams will be allowed 125 tickets on a game-by-game basis beginning with Thursday's quarterfinals. The arena will be cleared after each game. The tickets will go to guests of student athletes and staff members, but pep bands, cheerleaders, and dance teams will not be allowed. The policy also will be in place for the Women's Big 12 tournament, which begins Thursday night, a few blocks away. One of the things we've heard is that it's going to get much, much worse, Bowlesby said. The advice is, don't gather in large crowds. NBA suspends season until further notice over coronavirus, by Tim Reynolds, Associated Press, Miami. The NBA has suspended its season until further notice after a Utah Jazz player tested positive Wednesday for the coronavirus, a move that came only hours after the majority of the league's owners were leaning toward playing games without fans in arenas. There now will be no games at all, at least for the time being. A person with knowledge of the situation said the Jazz player who tested positive was center Rudy Gobert. The person spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity because neither the league nor the team confirmed the presumptive positive test. The NBA is suspending gameplay following the conclusion of tonight's schedule of games until further notice, the league said in a statement sent shortly after 9:30 p.m. Eastern. The NBA will use this hiatus to determine next steps for moving forward in regard to the coronavirus pandemic. The test result, the NBA said, was reported shortly before the scheduled tip-off time for the Utah at Oklahoma City game on Wednesday night was called off. Players were on the floor for warm-ups and tip-off was moments away when they were told to return to their locker rooms. About 30 minutes later, fans were told the game was postponed due to unforeseen circumstances. Those circumstances were the league's worst-case scenario for now, a player testing positive. A second person, who spoke to AP on condition of anonymity, said the league expects the shutdown to last a minimum of 2 weeks, but cautioned that time frame is very fluid.
Attending ex's wedding enrages couple's nephew. Dear Abby for Thursday. Dear Abby, my wife and I have a 45-year-old nephew who married for the first time 2 years ago. Before that, he was engaged to a woman I'll call Anita for 2 years. We assume the reason for their breakup was she wanted children and he did not. Last year, we attended Anita's wedding as we are still friendly with her. Our nephew was, and still is, furious with us for going. He claims only 5% of people attend one's ex's wedding. He says we should have been loyal to him and abstained because Anita was a vicious, lying rumor monger. He still emails and calls us, ranting and raving to the point that we might lose the relationship with him forever. We feel we did nothing wrong and were not obligated to get his permission to end that wedding. What do you think? Big Sin in Oregon. Dear Big Sin, I think you were right to attend Anita's wedding, in light of the fact that you were still friendly. You didn't need your nephew's permission. I seriously doubt his breakup with Anita had anything to do with whether she and your nephew disagreed about having children. More likely, it had everything to do with the fact that your nephew is stubborn and behaves irrationally. Dear Abby, my wife has no friends of her own and no hobbies. She is miserable most of the time, and happiness with her seems fleeting. I think she needs to see a counselor, but she refuses. In couples counseling, when the counselor pushed her on her issues, she quit. I realize now that she is able to hide these issues from everyday acquaintances. But we have a 1-year-old daughter, and I'm certain that as she gets older, she'll see these issues as well. What do I do? Looking forward in Pennsylvania. Dear Looking, whether your wife has postpartum depression or long-standing mental health issues, I can't guess, but something is not right with her. I think it could benefit you greatly if you go back to that counselor, if only to ask for advice on how to handle this situation and provide as healthy an environment for your daughter to grow up in as possible. Dear Abby, I am having issues with one of my good friends. When we hang out one-on-one, she's great. We laugh at just about everything and agree on a lot of different topics. However, when we hang out with other people, it's a different story. It seems as though all attention needs to be on her. It's not something I'm jealous of. It's more an uncomfortable feeling for everyone else. She's almost like a 4-year-old who needs constant attention and all eyes on her. I enjoy hanging out with her when it's just us because I don't see this side of her. But in groups or even with one other person, it's like it's her world and we are just living in it. We are planning a trip soon and I feel hesitant about being with her for long periods of time. Wearing Thin in Washington. Dear Wearing Thin, I'm puzzled as to why, knowing your friend behaves the way she does, you would be planning a trip with her. Unless it's a road trip, just the two of you, I think it could end the friendship. Considering who she is, the less time you spend in groups larger than two, the better.
Here are the horoscopes from Thursday, March 12th, 2020. Jacqueline Begar's stars. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5, dynamic. 4, positive. 3, average. 2, so-so. 1, difficult. Note, Begar stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Pisces and a moon in Libra until 5:28 a.m. when the moon enters Scorpio. Happy birthday for Thursday, March 12, 2020. This year, you manifest dual personalities. You can be extremely diplomatic and sensitive, yet other times you can be caustic, direct, and demanding. Those around you never know which side they will encounter. You may find others erratic, perhaps in response to you. If single, your romantic side loves to connect and likes all the special touches. If attached, your sweetie understands your personality and temperament. His or her response to hardness comes with understanding and caring. Scorpio can be insightful but difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 3 stars. You could feel challenged by a situation early in the day. A close loved one or associate could be involved. Work out this issue through one-on-one conversations. You will feel much better once you do. To Tonight, A Quiet Night for Two. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 5 stars. Relate more directly with those in your life. That special hello or asking about someone's feelings can smooth out a more challenging interaction. The unexpected occurs. You could be quite reactive. Tonight, say yes to a fun invitation. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 3 stars. Pace yourself and get past a challenging schedule or project. Keep the faith and do not get discouraged. Do not accept any extra responsibilities at this moment. Tonight, take your time. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 4 stars. If facing a challenging issue, dig into your creativity to find an appropriate solution. You might feel caught between a rock and a hard place until the moment you find the correct path. Tonight, a child or loved one plays a significant role. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 3 stars. Handle a personal matter first. If you don't, you could be consumed by thoughts about the situation for most of the day. You might not want to discuss what's happening with others. However, if you do have a trusted advisor, do share. Tonight, close to home. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 4 stars. Reach out for others. Return calls and remain responsive to suggestions. What seems difficult might not be once you toss yourself into the project. Tap into your creativity to find a reasonable solution. Tonight, speak your mind. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 3 stars. Indulge some and use your imagination to find an adequate solution. The problem might revolve around money, payments, and your needs. Trust yourself to choose wisely. Tonight, balance your account first. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 5 stars. You have your intuitive antennas up as you seek out a feasible solution. You might not know which way to go with a personal choice intellectually, but emotionally, you will find the right solution. Tonight, speak your mind. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 3 stars. Deal with a domestic issue directly. You might want to avoid any soul searching. However, facing the issue directly will prove helpful. Your energy could be going up and down. Tonight, get some extra R&R. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 4 stars. Aim for precisely what you want. If you are not sure, which is unlikely, back off. A discussion with a dear friend will help you gain perspective. Play out various ideas or solutions with this person. Tonight, where people are. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. 3 stars. Take a stand. Do not push yourself to come to an agreement or conclusion until you are ready. You are the major force in this discussion. Your attitude toward and flexibility with the situation might be good. Tonight, working late. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 3 stars. Reach out for a loved one at a distance. You might have difficulty connecting at first. Relax and allow the other party to maintain control. Let him or her initiate a conversation if possible. Tonight, use your imagination. Born today, actress Liza Minnelli, 1946. Singer-songwriter James Taylor, 1948. Politician Mitt Romney, 1947. And now here is a reading of Thursday's sports articles. First, we go to the March 12th edition of the Midland Reporter Telegram. 25 seasons strong, West Texas March Classic celebrates silver anniversary, by Christopher Hattern. the West Texas March Classic baseball team will be celebrating its silver anniversary this year. Now in its 25th season, the tournament will play host to 12 West Texas baseball programs today, Thursday, and Saturday at Greenwood High School, Steer Park in Big Spring, and Security Bank Ballpark. 9 of the 11 varsity teams participating reached the playoffs in 2019, and Greenwood head coach Steven Rodriguez is looking forward to his Rangers, 4-7, using the games to improve as they get closer to their District 5-4A opener against San Angelo Lakeview on March 24th. "I think it's one of the best groups we have attending this tournament," Rodriguez said. "We have some very solid teams, some tradition-rich teams, so it's going to be a good test for everyone involved." Rodriguez says one of the tournament's main attractions is a chance for the Class 4A and Class 3A schools to play on a professional field at Security Bank Ballpark. However, the tournament schedule had to be modified because of rain in the forecast for Friday. As a result, there will be no Friday games played, and Security Bank Ballpark will host all 6 of its games Thursday in a condensed schedule. "Security Bank does a wonderful job of working with us," Rodriguez said. "We are going to change some stuff up because of the weather. They have accommodated us. It's a top-notch venue. It's a great draw. It draws teams to this tournament. We get nothing but great reviews from coming here. We love it." Big Spring and Greenwood are still slated to host games Saturday, but the Saturday games on the grass field at Greenwood could be moved to the artificial surface of Permian's McCanley's Field in Odessa if the conditions are too wet. Rodriguez was grateful that the Midland Rockhound staff allowed them to play 6 games at Security Bank Ballpark Thursday so each tournament team could play 1 game there. "With 6 games on that field, it puts great wear and tear on it," Rodriguez said. "I can't thank them enough for allowing us to play there." The Rangers will play 3 games Thursday as they will play host to Pecos, 6-2-1, at 1 p.m., and Fort Stockton, 4-5, at 3:30 p.m. Greenwood will finish the day with an 8:30 p.m. game against Leveland, 9-2-1, at Security Bank Ballpark. The Steers, 5-6-1, will meet Fort Stockton in a 10:30 a.m. game at Security Bank Ballpark before playing host to Reagan County, 3-6, at 6 p.m. Midland Odessa Soccer's FC Unveil 2020 Schedule, from Staff Reports. The Midland Odessa Soccer's FC released its 2020 schedules for the season Wednesday. The Soccers will open the season with a May 16th home match against FC Brownsville at 7:30 p.m. at Grande Communications Stadium. The Soccers play in the 7-team Lone Star Conference Division of the National Premier Soccer League. Now moving to the Odessa American sports pages for Thursday, March 12th. High school track and field, bouncing back. Permian's Wilson ready to make up for disappointing outing, by Michael Bauer. Permian's DeVasia Wilson may not have had the best of showings at the West Texas Relays in the long jump last Friday at Ratliff Stadium, but the Lady Panther Jr. knows she can recover at the next meet. Wilson, who's used to taking first or second in the long jump, ended up placing 13th at the West Texas Relays with a jump of 15 feet 6 inches. The main reason was because she hurt her right knee when jumping. "I started my approach wrong and then hyper-extended my kneecap," Wilson said. "After that, it went downhill. I'm not where I want to be, but with districts approaching, I'll get better." Her long jump coach, Courtney Miller, is confident that Wilson can recover. "Wilson, it wasn't her best day, coming off that twisted knee," Miller said. "She usually places first. Today was a little bit of a disappointment for her." Wilson's knee, however, shouldn't hamper her for the remainder of the season. Her knee is good and strong, so she can still run, Miller said. Wilson began her season on the right foot, taking first at the Tall City Relays in Midland on February 14th, at the first meet of the season, with a jump of 16.750. With the Tall City meet, I just came out and I was excited and ready to execute, Wilson said. This one, I was ready to execute, but my steps just weren't right. It's not my best meet at all. Part of the reason for her struggles involved the wind. While the weather was clear skies, the wind proved to be a menace for her. The wind was not working in my favor at all, Wilson said. With long jump, that can make a difference. It can affect your form in running. Other than that, the marking on the board, I wasn't on quite as well either. But with plenty of long jumpers on the team who have shown potential, Miller said Wilson has done a good job of helping the other girls. Wilson has a great personality, Miller said. She gets the rest of the girls riled up and excited to be here. She keeps things exciting with her talent. They look up to that. When you have this kind of talent mixed with being a good teammate, that's great. Miller is confident that her long jumpers can place high in the district later this year. Last year we finished first, third, and fourth, so that's our goal for this year, to do the same at district, she said. We want to take those points and give us a better cushion going into the running events. Wilson's personal best in the long jump is 16.8, and she says to get there she has to work on her knee drive. Wilson has her goals set out for the final stretch of the season. The second half of the season, I'm planning to come harder and to keep improving, Wilson said. High school soccer. Lady Panthers secure postseason berth. Late surge extends Permian season, by Michael Bauer. The Permian girls have continued their recent run of resurgence, and with that, they can finally rest easy, knowing that they are going to the playoffs. The Lady Panthers clinched a spot in the postseason Tuesday with a 1-1 draw against Midland High at Ratliff Stadium. While the result itself may not have been the prettiest for Permian head coach Chad Peterson and his players, their last three games have seen them go undefeated. It's good for the kids, Peterson said. These last three games, they've been finally able to have the fight and the good touches, and they're starting to see that that all brings results. In the first half of the season, we wouldn't have fought back to go 1-1. It's good for the kids to keep that fight going and see the results going. Prior to Tuesday's game, the Lady Panthers were coming off a 0-0 draw against the District 2-6A leaders, Wolforth Friendship. Before that, they came away with a 4-1 win over Midland Lee. Permian now sits at 14-6-4 overall, 2-3-4 in district, and in fourth place with 16 points. Midland Lee is 4 points behind at 10-8-2, 2-5-2, but Permian owns the tiebreaker. Permian's best results have come in the middle to the late stages of district play, and Peterson said mostly because of the heart his players have shown. We were letting it get away in the first half of district play, but we're starting to fight back, Peterson said. We're starting to get back to doing the little things that we need to do to get better. We're starting to get goals, and we're starting to get results. For Peterson, the results from the last three games tell him that his players have a lot of fight left in them. We easily could have folded the tents and just played the last couple of games, Peterson said. Enough of our girls have carried on to keep our team fighting. If we keep fighting and keep playing, we'll be fine. Permian's Niaxley Munoz agreed. As long as we get back to where we started, we can keep going from there, Munoz said. We just need to keep pushing. Permian's Abby Ward, who had the game-tying goal against Midland High on Tuesday, said her team had a lot of confidence coming in after the draw against Friendship. That was a big result, especially after how we came out in the first half of district play, Ward said. Being the first team to take points away from Friendship gave us a lot of confidence. We came out ready to play. For Midland High, 12-7-5, 6-2-1, the Lady Dogs already have a spot in the playoffs. While they will be unable to catch Friendship, 12-0-4, 7-0-2, they'll look to end the regular season on a high note when they face the Lady Tigers next week. With so much on the line, taking away points and coming down to the last few games for district, that's the kind of mindset we'll need for the playoffs, Midland High coach Cooper Barnum said. We know we must come away with a win, and that's been our mindset. The Lady Panthers will look to end the regular season on a high note as well when they travel to face Amarillo Tascosa, 1-16-2, 0-9-0, next week. We can take some time to relax and come back, Peterson said. We have a long road trip against Amarillo Tascosa, and anything can happen in this district. We just need to take care of business. Permian Boys ends 4-year playoff drought. Senior class leads Panthers by Michael Bauer. Even with a loss, the Permian Boys soccer team still finds itself in the postseason for the first time in 4 years. On Tuesday, the Panthers were dealt a 4-1 loss to Midland High in District 2-6A action at Ratliff Stadium. But their playoff hopes didn't evaporate, as Permian still did enough to punch its ticket to the postseason. For head coach Louis Carmona, getting to the playoffs says a lot about his team, especially his senior players. I'm very happy for the senior class, Carmona said. They've been working their tails off. It's a great feeling to get in there. We still have one district game left, and we can still rectify the ship. We need to come out against Amarillo Tascosa and play our game. The Panthers now stand at 9-10-3 overall, 5-4-0 in district play, with 20 points in the standings. The Panthers sit in third place, just 2 points ahead of Midland Lee, which sits at 10-10-3, 4-4-1, with 18 points. Wolforth Friendship is on the outside looking in at 11-4-1, 3-4-1, with 14 points. The Tigers were dealt a 3-1 loss by district leaders Odessa High on Tuesday night, allowing the Panthers to get into the playoffs. Despite qualifying, Carmona and his players know there's still plenty to work on after the 4-1 loss to Midland High. It's not the result we wanted, but the other results went our way, Carmona said. I think we left our game plan that made us successful. The Panthers had been riding a wave of momentum entering the Tuesday game against Midland High. Permian was coming off a 4-1 win over Friendship. Before that, they posted a 4-2 win over Midland Lee. Prior to that, the Panthers came back from 2 goals down in a 3-2 win over crosstown rivals Odessa High. They had also posted a 3-0 win over Amarillo Tascosa to end the first half of district play. But after seeing their undefeated run end, there were no shortages of things to look for Cremona and his players. Our movement off the ball was a bit lazy, Carmona said. Our choices were a bit poor. I think today a lot of the guys put a lot of pressure on their shoulders and tried to do everything individually. On the other end of the table, the Bulldogs, 13-3-6, 5-1-3, continue to try to keep up the pressure on Odessa High. Midland High remains in second place with 26 points, just 2 behind Odessa High, as the district title race comes down to the wire. I've been telling the boys to just take care of what we can take care of, Midland High head coach Jason Bush said. We can only focus on Permian first and then hope for the best from the other games. But with the district title race getting more and more intense, Bush says it's a good opportunity for his players to experience a playoff-like atmosphere as they prepare for the postseason. Before we came out here on Tuesday, I told the guys that we need to have the mentality for the rest of the season to just keep rolling it into the playoffs, Bush said. Whoever we get in the first round of the playoffs, it's always going to be tough. Midland High will end its regular season on March 17th against Friendship. Friendship's always a good team, Bush said. They're very physical. They're coached well. We've been looking forward to playing them again in our stadium. Permian will close its regular season on the same day against Amarillo Tascosa. We've worked too hard to get to where we need to be, Carmona said. I'm proud that we were able to take care of the playoffs, but now we need to take care of Tascosa and wait for our opponent. Sports Briefs from Staff and Wire Reports. Permian dropped pitcher's duel, San Angelo. A lone run in the first inning proved to be the difference as the Permian baseball team fell 1-0 to San Angelo Central on Tuesday at Donsky Field. The Bobcats, 6-5-1 overall, got their run in the bottom of the first inning when Jacob Charles scored on a fielder's choice by Caden Box. Charles reached safely on an error. Charles also pitched a one-hit shutout with 10 strikeouts. The Panthers, 9-3-1, only hit was a two-out single in the fifth inning by Brian Ramirez. Tyler Ramage finished a solid effort as the starting pitcher, allowing one unearned run on four hits with three strikeouts and three walks in five innings. Draw, Wolforth. The Odessa High girls soccer team gave District 2-6A leader Wolforth Friendship all it could handle. In the end, the Lady Tigers got a late goal in the second half to finish in a 2-2 draw with the Lady Broncos Tuesday at the Friendship Soccer Complex. Jacqueline Lujan and Cassie Ramirez were the two goal scorers for the Lady Broncos, 13-5-4 overall, 4-2-3 in district, who remained in third place with one regular season match remaining. The result, combined with Midland High's 1-1 draw against Permian, gave Friendship, 12-0-4, 7-0-2, the outright district title and the number one seed in the postseason. Late rally, Wolforth. The Odessa High boys soccer team found its offensive rhythm in the second half, scoring all three goals after halftime in a 3-1 victory Tuesday over Wolforth Friendship in District 2-6A play Tuesday at the Friendship Soccer Complex. Brandon Bernal scored twice for the Broncos, 14-6-4, 6-1-2 in district, while Alan Rubio added a goal as well. All four goals scored came after halftime. The victory kept the Broncos 14-6-4 overall, 6-1-2 in district, ahead of Midland High by 2 points with one match left in the regular season. A draw over Midland Lee next Tuesday would clinch a share of the district title, while a victory gives the Broncos the outright crown for the second straight season. Canceled. The Odessa College softball series against UT Rio Grande Valley was officially canceled Wednesday. The Lady Wranglers were scheduled to play doubleheaders both Friday and Saturday. Head coach Jeff Jackson said the series was called off due to weather and several players from UTRGV being sick. Odessa College is scheduled to take the field again March 17th in a doubleheader against Lamar Community College at 2 p.m. The Lady Wranglers opened WJCAC play March 20th against El Paso Community College. Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.